Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 62. I'm Table for Two, and I'm joined today by Mellified and Alien Pickle. What's up, guys?
Hey, it's Mellified. I am doing well. It's looks like we're finally going to have our 100 degree plus heat wave here in Texas break, which I am very excited about.
Hey.
Been warm. How are you doing, Alien Pickle?
I got another dozen in the incubator for some reason.
Oh.
Yes.
More chickens.
And two turkeys for some reason. Not my thought. It just happened.
I know somebody who actually has a few ducks and a couple turkeys and several chickens on their property, too.
Oh, ducks are trouble, dude.
She actually went out to check on something the other night and thought she saw a cat and then got a little closer and she's like, oh god. She's like, it's a possum. It's so cute. And I was like, girl, stay away.
Yeah, it's like, no, bring it in. Feed it a bottle.
No. Anyway, well, there's your farming.
Possums are cute. Like, I could have had a possum. So we were in the garage. And there was like a box of Christmas decorations, right? And we're cleaning the garage out. And the Christmas decorations hissed at my wife when she went to move it. Yeah. So there was a mama and some baby possums in there that we had to clean out.
Yeah.
But I could have had a baby possum if I'd wanted one. But I thought better of it.
Yeah, that's probably
good. They are cute until they grow up and start to look like Skeletor.
a little bit. All right, well, there's been your farm update, everybody. Now onto the video games. Getting into just our general game releases, updates, and mod information. Norman Reedus recently confirmed that Death Stranding sequel. We just started the second one, so apparently there is a Death Stranding sequel in the works. I have still yet to finish the first one.
I've yet to play the first one.
So I've enjoyed what I've played so far. I just need to sink some more time into it. So there's that. And in popular news, I guess, you know, with the current pop culture stuff, Ace Combat is teaming up with a collaboration with Top Gun to put some Top Gun themed stuff into the Ace Combat game that they've got going on right now. So if you feel the need for speed, well, there you go.
Ironically, we do not have a recent Need for Speed game, although that would be driving, I guess.
Yeah. In other news, there's a mod for Fallout 4 called Fallout London that recently released an 18-minute video showing gameplay. It's looking pretty thick. You know, I gotta hand it to the Fallout modders, man. Like, those are games I've never finished, but yet I've always been impressed with, like, the robust community.
Yeah, there's no shortage of cool mods, that's for sure. Multiverses is the new, well, soon to be released Smash Brothers clone with Warner Brothers characters. So you can play as Batman, Superman,
Tasmanian Devil.
Yep, you can play as the Scooby-Doo characters. One of the features that came up is if Velma gets hit enough, her glasses fall off, and she has to crawl around on the floor to find them, and the screen goes blurry when that happens.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, so they've got this game out in closed alpha right now. But my gosh, the roster for this is just crazy. Wonder Woman, Shaggy, Tom and Jerry.
So it's like everybody that was ever a cartoon.
Well, but they've also got like Anya Stark from Game of Thrones because they own HBO.
You know, this is interesting. Like, I find this interesting that they're delving into this because this is what the second or third kind of like spinoff from Smash Bros. That we've seen so far. Because you have Smash Brothers, that was like the Hail Mary, like that's the one that kind of came out and did it all. There was also, I guess, a little bit of Soul Calibur, you know, had some cross stuff. Mortal Kombat's had some cross stuff where they've brought in other things, but. This is like the second or third one where it's just like, here's like out the gate, it's a mashup game.
Yeah, Nickelodeon's got one out now too. I know that has a bunch of their characters. Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life, which was one of my favorite Nickelodeon cartoons.
Yeah, same
when
here.
I was younger.
What about like all those characters from those shitty WB shows?
No, not that I've seen, at least. I think they left those in the stable. Maybe that'll be DLC.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, it'd be interesting to play the Mortal Kombat folks. Ed Boon, who was one of the creators of Mortal Kombat, has been teasing it because I think they have a couple Mortal Kombat characters in multiverses. And one of the memes for a long, long time was that Shaggy should be a character in Mortal Kombat. And he is a character in multiverses. So you'll finally be able to get your Shaggy versus Sub-Zero fix. Was the joke. So I don't know.
I wonder if Shaggy pulls out like a giant joint and huffs it, and that's his power up phase.
Oh, God. Yeah. Scooby snacks for the win. I don't know. Edibles.
He could call Scooby in as like a one of those off screen characters. Yeah. He like throws a Scooby snack, and then Scoob comes in and whoops ass and jumps back off the screen.
But there's a 10% chance it's crappy do, and then you lose. You just die.
Oh, shit. What about the Flintstones, dude? They could get the Flintstones. Fred Flintstone.
Yabba dabba doo.
Yeah. He slides a dinosaur tail onto the screen.
Yeah. I mean, there could be some pretty fun things you could do with it. I just don't know if it's going to have the legs, right? If it's going to have sticking power and be more than a gimmick. For a lot of this stuff, it's really hard for fighting games to find a community and a multi, you know, four player kind of arena battler like this is even harder, I feel like. So
that's pretty weird.
Yeah, it'd be interesting
to
see.
Not gonna lie, but yeah, Fred and Shaggy team up to be Team Yabba Dabba Doobie.
New Demio campaign is coming. Next month, called Curse of the Serpent Lord. Demio is the originally VR only, although now you can play it in pancake mode, as it's known, traditional.
Now, is it a separate purchase to have the pancake mode version?
It is not. If you already purchased the VR, you get the pancake mode for free, and I think if you buy it new, you get both. So they did do that right, at least. And it is crossplay between the two versions.
Oh, good.
But the idea is you're standing over a table in somebody's basement and you've got an AI narrator who's playing the dungeon master and you're moving your
hopefully not
around.
Tiny Tina.
No, not Tiny Tina, but she it is a female character. I forget her name in the game, but
yeah, I just hate that character in particular.
Oh, yeah, she can be a little over the top. So they're also putting in figurines that you can paint, because apparently that's something that people are starting to put into games, but you can't use them in the multiplayer. So I'm not quite sure what the point is. Maybe that's coming later. But that might be something to look forward to, the expansion in particular. We need to play it because it's actually a lot of fun, even just single player. So it'd be a good time. Let's see. We've got Blizzard's next Overwatch 2 event will take place in June. I guess they're trying to get the hype train going for Overwatch 2.
Yay.
Any feelings about this?
I mean, I think Blizzard, you know, has just been in shambles for such a long time that I feel like any new news from them just feels like, you remember the days when you'd look at Blizzard and be like, oh, they're coming out with a new game. What's it going to be? Oh, it's probably going to be really good. Those cutscenes, those Blizzard trailers. I just feel like anything now coming out of Blizzard is just like, all right, you know, don't care. So, but something that I'm actually kind of interested in is Kerbal Space Program 2. This was announced a long time ago, I feel like, but is now being delayed till 2023. So I guess they were slated to release it this year, and now it's going to be coming out next year. Take it or leave it. I mean, Kerbal is cool, but it really didn't scratch an itch for me. So it'll be interesting to see what they do differently in Kerbal Space Program 2. Epic, for those of you who don't know, they're the Unreal Engine folks and Fortnite folks. They are going to be releasing an Unreal Editor for Fortnite in an apparent attempt to out Roblox Roblox. I was talking to Melified before the show. I just feel like this is just going to increase the amount of dumb content we have out there. I personally feel that Roblox is a problem, you know, in my views. So I don't know where the good can come from this. Besides that, doesn't Unreal already have that, what was it, Core or whatever it is? I feel like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. It's kind of strange. So,
well, they have Fortnite, and they're looking for, like, what's our next thing when Fortnite eventually dies.
Yeah.
So they should just make Fort Blocks or something.
Well, I think my frustration with Roblox, and I'm interested to see how they fix this with or address this with Fortnite, is attribution, right? Because Roblox allows you to download somebody's mod, decompile it, and what a lot of people do is just re-upload it with a very small change under their own name, and so you get a lot of duplicate content or you know, people trying to steal paid content and re-release it as their own and stuff like that. So it's very strange, and I wonder how Fortnite can address that or improve that, or if they can.
All right. Next, Fall Guys is going free to play, which I feel like should have happened a long time ago. It definitely seemed like in the world of things like Among Us that are free, like on mobile, and some of these other games that are big party-style games like this, the fact that it wasn't free to play sooner is kind of shocking to me. But I'm actually shocked that
Fortnite didn't steal the Fall Guys stuff, right, of being a big rubber obstacle course kind of thing. Mm. Like, they could have plugged that into Fortnite in an afternoon.
Yeah,
shows great restraint that they didn't.
Well, and one of the interesting things with this change is the PC version is going Epic Store exclusive because they're using Epic's crossplay tech.
Yeah,
for it,
and it's coming to the Switch this summer. So there you go. You need another place to play it, now you do. And
it's a fun game for like an hour, and then you've seen it.
And just for a public service announcement out there, Rocket League's new cross-platform voice chat is enabled by default, so be aware of that.
Yeah, some spicy
I want some chocolate milk.
Mm, God.
Always a nice bit of news for our Xbox and PC section first story. Omega 5, which is a Hudson shmup, shoot 'em up, game from the Xbox 360 era, just came back to the store. It got relisted. We actually are, you know, used to seeing games disappear into the ether, but now we actually have one that's come back. So, nice little bonus. It's actually a pretty good shmup if you're a fan of the genre, so well worth checking out.
Nice.
A bit of a surprise. Gotham Knights is the upcoming sort of sequel to the Batman games. The game itself was originally announced for Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, and PC, and they recently delayed the game and announced they're dropping the last-gen consoles, so you will not be able to play this on PS4 or Xbox One, unfortunately.
Mm.
I understand why developers are doing this, because these older consoles are definitely holding back a lot of these next-gen new games because they're so aged. But it's so hard still to get a next-gen console for a lot of folks. I really am surprised that they're doing this. Really limits their potential sales, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. So, allegedly, there's a rumor going around that there's going to be a Gears of War Remastered Collection later this year.
Is that like Microsoft pulled that out because they ain't got Starfield to show, so we got to show something? Because Starfield was literally the only first-party Xbox title for 2022.
I don't know. I mean, it's not even... I don't even think Starfield... I don't know what to say to that, honestly.
I don't know why people didn't think it was going to be delayed. It was like, they haven't shown anything, but it's coming out. No. Anyway, yeah. But speaking of Starfield, like, the people that have baited the thing thus far have said that, you know, like, yeah, the on-planet stuff's cool, but the ship stuff is not fun. So... that needs a little bit of a rework.
Yeah. And another news, Grounded is getting a free update. Sends bugs out for revenge. So this new update, along with all the other content that they've been coming out with, makes it so at some point in time, the ants will come and raid you. So... be on the lookout for that. That's a really great co-op game if you have like some friends or family that you want to play a game with. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm. This one was an interesting surprise, I guess, for myself and Table for Two. I knew that Arma Reforger was out on Steam, and Table knew it was out for Xbox in game preview, but we didn't realize the other platform was available. So you can play Arma Reforger on Xbox Series X or S, not on the Xbox One or on PC. So it is a pre-release early access title. I know last I looked it had mixed reviews on Steam, so maybe they have some work to do there. I didn't look into to why that rating, but
well, there's no mission scripting stuff. There's no aircraft. There's very limited drivable vehicles kind of thing. Vehicle physics still has some problems.
It's a Cold War era thing, right? Is that what I understood? Okay.
Yeah, it's like 80s kind of tech that's going on.
Mm.
But yeah, it's it has the Zeus mode so that, you know, somebody wants to run a session and they can just like live drop AI in or whatever. And then there's just like a... it's like Capture the Island if you'd played that mode, where you like buy, there's a store and you buy your guns and vehicles and stuff, and then you take territory away from the AI. So that seems to be like the main multiplayer things that people do.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm curious to check it out though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it just doesn't support milsim stuff yet,
right?
That's but I'm sure they're working on it.
Right. Well, this, if you look at the way the servers or population is distributed, like YouTube shows all the milsim, like here's the epic thing that we did, and then in reality, players just jump in it like it's Call of Duty.
I think this will be nice though for the people who aren't as into milsim though. You know, have Arma available for as they say the filthy casuals, I guess is what they call it.
Right. Well, the complexity of the controls in Arma, combined with how crappy the performance has been in Arma, kind of scares the filthy casuals away, because it's like, I don't want to have to learn like flight simulator level of, you know, key map. Like every button on the keyboard does something help. And then they've translated that to a gamepad. They got rid of the crappy scroll menu. Thank God. You know, so yeah, it's an improvement. I think making it work with a gamepad has forced a lot of the baloney out of the game that didn't need to be there.
Yeah, that tends to be the case. I mean, definitely controller's not a perfect input device by any means, but supporting it means you have to make some really smart choices and do things like radial menus rather than just throwing everything at the keyboard as shortcuts.
Well, moving on to
go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, moving on to retro news. There's some really cool stuff happening here. Jim, have you ever wanted to play Portal on the N64?
I've never wanted to play anything on the N64.
Oh, that's pretty harsh. Well, someone's gone out and done a demake of Portal for the N64. Which is shocking because they've actually gotten the portal gun mechanics more or less working in a N64 environment. So you can actually put this thing on a cart and actually play it on real N64 hardware. And there's a really cool video showing it working where you know, he's dropping a cube through the floor and it comes out through the ceiling and does the infinite loop thing, and it's kind of surprising like that.
The Doom 32X was one of the sort of lost versions of Doom in many people's experience, because the Sega 32X for the Genesis was maybe not their most successful product. There's been a group of modders who have been going back and cleaning up and improving Doom for the 32X. They just hit the project's called Resurrection, and they just hit version 2.0, which really adds a number of improvements and enhancements. They've got a link cable for the 32X, which is, now supported. And they've got a full screen mode that is a whopping 320 by 184 pixels. Better graphics, better audio. I mean, the list goes on and on. So if this is something that you're really interested in doing or playing around with, is kind of a super retro Doom, this would be the version for you, I think. We also have a fair bit of mystery news. I'll try to summarize it. Alpha Mission, the arcade game, has a beta out. The PlayStation Core is now officially released, the original PlayStation, so you can give that a try. There is a official kit for the Raspberry Pi Zero to make an MT32 Pi, which, for those who aren't familiar, this is the old school Roland sound modules that really created amazing quality, you know, symphonic music for old PC games. And the Mister runs a 486 core, so you can run a lot of those old DOS games that supported the Roland sound modules, including the MT32, SC55, etc. So with a Raspberry Pi Zero, you can now have a decent little MT32 Pi sidecar for your Mister.
Yeah, that's actually a project on my list that I want to do. I've got my my Mister over here and the Raspberry Pi. I think it's a 3B plus or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah, and that'll work great. And those work with PC, by the way. Like the MT32 Pi is not just a Mister thing; it's just
right.
A general, you know, emulation of the original hardware.
Well, and that's where I want this. This will help me build that retro PC like thing that I've been wanting to do. Mm-hmm. So it'll help me get started with there. The only thing that I'm missing right now that I really want is a classic style joystick that's USB. That I can use with it to play some of those old things. That was the thing about like some of those older DOS games is those MIDI sounds. They don't quite sound right. Or they don't, the sound stuff themselves didn't get ported right on like newer digital versions of things. And yeah. So,
well, and a lot of them, the game came out with and was designed for a very specific sound module. And there are so many different weird variations of those sound modules. If you don't have the exact hardware that it was originally meant for, it doesn't sound right, you know, anyway. And one of the cool things about the MT32 Pi is you can set it to all of those different variations of the sound modules to get the exact right sound for that particular game. If
Yeah, there's a really cool video out on YouTube. I forget the name of it, but there's this retro enthusiast who essentially did like a MIDI stack, and he took like MT32 and he took a whole bunch of other like MIDI player things into a stack and played different things on them that way. And you can definitely tell the difference in sounds from across just based on like it's a similar device that does the same thing, but it just kind of outputs the sound in a slightly different way. And so I found that to be quite fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. That era, and there was so little standardization. Everything was so new that we got all these crazy variations, I guess. Couple other updates. Soldier Girl Amazon Arcade Core is available. We've got work going on with Terra Force and Ikari 3 ports coming to the Mister. There is a Vigilante, which is an old arcade beat-em-up coming. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is getting some love. And there was even a prototype shown of a Mister Portable where somebody had cut down the Mister board and put it in a Game Boy Advance style case. So you could take your Mister on the go with you. Not commercially available or anything, but just something that may come in the future. And somebody is working on a Game & Watch core, so you'll be able to play all those old Game & Watch Nintendo games on the Mister soon. Let's see. We also are getting a PC XT core, so if you want to really go old school, you can get back to your 8088 and 8086 days with some of the very, very early PC games. And it looks like the Sega System 18 arcade system is going to be coming. It's in development now with games like Shadow Dancer, Alien Storm, and Michael Jackson's Moonwalker supported. And we're also seeing the Neo Geo Pocket for Mr. in development and coming along very, very quickly. So, yeah. And one last one. The Super Nintendo Entertainment System had a MSU1 audio subsystem. It was a virtual or a coprocessor, and it allows the SNES to playback CD quality audio. And so there is a core in beta for the Mister for that. So quite a just amazing range of updates for the Mister. It still is so impressive to me, the things that people are able to do with the Mister.
Absolutely.
Let me go through a couple of these other retro stories really quick. There is a new VMU for the Dreamcast called VM2 that uses SD cards and has a backlit display. So this is coming from a guy out of Greece who's done a number of Dreamcast mods in the past, including Bluetooth controllers and modernized light guns. I've got several of his things, so really looking forward to this. And the EverDrive 64X series is an FPGA-based cartridge emulator for the N64. It now can run NES emulation on the FPGA in the cartridge. So you can get native quality NES gameplay on your N64, which, had that come out when the N64 was on the market, oh my gosh, people's heads would have exploded. But still pretty cool to be able to go back and play those classic NES games on your N64. I found this one kind of interesting. Reggie Villamy, the former president of Nintendo America, really thought that Metroid Other M would be a defining moment for the franchise, which obviously was not the case. I guess maybe it was defining in that people hated it and hated what they did with Samus. If you remember, Other M had her kind of whiny and almost like teenage petulant bratty character rather than the sort of strong and independent character we've come to know and love from the Metroid games.
Mm.
And finally, you can play Mario 64 in glorious HD thanks to a fan-made texture pack.
Mario Kart 64.
Sorry, yes.
We've already got Mario. We've already got the Mario one.
Yes, my mistake. So yeah, it looks really, really good. They've up-resed all of the text and graphics. All the character art looks really, really good. So check that out if you are interested in playing some Mario Kart 64. All right, moving on to VR news. Mario Wind's VR mod just got multiplayer support. Morrowind is one of the last sort of what I think of as classic Elder Scrolls games, in the sense that it doesn't coddle you. There are places you will go 2 minutes out of the first town where you will encounter level 30 monsters that will like rip your head off and use it for a coffee mug. It is not good about holding your hand at all. And so it's interesting that they've added multiplayer support to the game and added it to the VR mod. So that's pretty cool. Warhammer Tempestfall was a PC VR game that had, you know, somewhat mixed reviews, but it is launching for the has launched for the Quest 2. So if you are interested in giving that a shot, you can check that out natively on the Quest 2. And Meta, our friends formerly known as Facebook, are still working on Quest login without Facebook as a requirement. If you remember,
they need to get on that more. Like, I feel like if they want to really sell, and like, I mean, they're already the best on the market as for like price point. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like if they really want to get to a wider, because I know people who will not buy one because they hate the idea of it being tied to Facebook.
Absolutely, and you know, it's a little bit frustrating because when Facebook purchased Oculus, the founder of Oculus insisted that it would never require Facebook. And when he was let go, then Facebook, you know, went back on that promise that he had made. And we're stuck with it now, right now. They have said previously that when they enable Facebook-free login, that you will be able to go back if you've merged your Oculus and Facebook accounts, which most people have, because in order to use the friend list features, you had to activate the Facebook link. So hopefully we'll see that soon. I'm surprised. I can't believe it's taking this long because of a technical reason, right? I think it's got to be political or whatever. So. Couple other VR stories. Resident Evil 8's VR mod is lauded as one of the best fan conversions yet. I, as I've shared a few times on the show, am a wuss when it comes to horror games, and VR horror is so much more intense because you feel like you're immersed in the world. I almost, you know, had a heart attack playing the Resident Evil 7 on PSVR, the PlayStation VR, because it was so intense and real feeling.
You didn't even get past the refrigerator at the beginning, right?
I got to my wife, like meeting my wife, but that was at that point I was done. I was just like, okay, no, can't do it. So I can't imagine how hard it is to play 8.
Yeah, I made the mistake of opening that refrigerator in the kitchen.
That was pretty nasty.
Yeah, the VR horror thing that VR. I remember Jim watching me for the first time try playing Alien Isolation and just freaking out. It's like, and the alien's not even there. It's just like you hear a noise, or you see a thing, or a shadow like crosses your eyes for a second. You're just that anticipation of like, you know, the monster coming out of the ceiling to get you or whatever. And you're just like, you know, they really built the atmosphere in that game really well, because you actually felt like you were in like 1970s alien movie. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, I'm a sucker for that. Like tube monitor retro futurist.
Yeah, the retro future look in sci-fi is really good. So
yeah, that, which is honestly a thing that I'm looking forward to Starfield with, because I assume, you know, those guys are masters of retro futurism, right? So if they don't do that in Starfield, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I think that's what was so appealing about the Fallout games, right? Is that like kind of you know, retro future.
Yeah, well, in Wasteland, which was the originator of the Fallout games in a real sense, because Interplay did Wasteland 1 and then went on to do Fallout, in Wasteland, it was 1980s tech that was kind of futurized, because the apocalypse happens in the 80s, so a lot of the tech is based on that. So there are different eras that you can pull from for your future tech. Dieselpunk is another famous one from the 1920s. Iron Harvest is an RTS that's heavily inspired by Dieselpunk. So there's a lot of it out there, that's for sure. We alluded to this just a minute ago, but the Quest 2 from Meta is easily one of the best values in VR. It is certainly not the best headset in terms of visual quality, although it's not bad by any stretch. But you can currently purchase a Quest 2 128 gigabyte version directly from Oculus for $250, which is astoundingly inexpensive for what you're getting. So definitely, if you are interested in VR, it's worth checking out. Quest version 40, the system software, came out. Just a few extra features. They've added support for more Bluetooth keyboards, so the keyboards show up correctly in VR. So you can kind of look down and type in VR. And they've added a number of enhancements to their security features on the headset. So you have like a login page, kind of like a phone, you know, where you use a passcode to get in. Beat Saber gets a new 3D level editor on PC. So this is something the mod community has been doing for quite a while. I guess they finally realized they should probably just build it into the game. And last but not least, for the VR section, I thought it was really interesting. There's a company that does the sort of location-centric VR, where you have room scale with multiple players all in an environment, called Zero Latency. And they previously were using backpack PCs, so the players would each have a backpack on along with the headset. And they've since gone to the Vive Focus 3 and using Wi-Fi 6E within the site to send the video wirelessly. So this is a pretty interesting innovation. I think it'll be... I've never actually been to one of these, you know, locations to try it myself, but it can only help us to have fewer wires in VR. So, Mr. Table, do you want to take us through some Nintendo news? We've got a couple stories here.
Nintendo Switch has now sold over 107 million units. That's not too shabby. So good for them. I wonder, is that a combination of Switch Lite and like OLED Switch?
I assume. Yeah. Yeah. It's probably the whole getting caboodle.
Nice. Well, congratulations to them. Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope still on track for a 2022 release. So if you're into the Mario and Rabbids, stuff, I've heard good things. Melified's told me it's a pretty good time, so...
Yeah, the original, at least, was a lot of fun. It's sort of a... people have described it as, like, a Mario XCOM game, and that's probably overstating it a little bit. It's not quite as tactically complicated as XCOM, but it's a lot of fun, if you like tactics games, for sure.
Nice. Well, it's official. The Metroid Dread game is the best-selling game in the Metroid series. That's a lot of high praise. I've heard nothing but good things about it. I'm a huge fan of Metroid Prime. I know it's not the traditional side-scrolling Metroid game, but Metroid Prime for me was like probably one of the favorite games in the series for myself. So I'll have to give Metroid Dread a try and see if it truly does stack up.
Yeah, and then we've been getting consistent improvements to the Switch Online N64 library. Most recently, Kirby 64 was added, and a number of little graphical tweaks and improvements to the other games in the library. So nice to see them continuing to provide some value here.
Yes, that's definitely good, for sure. Moving on with the PlayStation news. So, you know, in the world of Microsoft, with the Game Pass, right? With Game Pass, they have Game Pass and they have Game Pass Ultimate. And one of the nice things about Game Pass Ultimate is they've got these deals with things. Like, you can get special deals with stuff. And they've also bundled and included the base version of EA Plus, right? So you can get the base version of the EA Pass or whatever it is that they have with that. Well, now with the subscription model for Sony with the PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium editions, you will now be able to get the Ubisoft Plus Classics subscription bundled in with that.
Yeah, this is a little bizarre, though, because EA Play is anything older than a certain period of time. Ubisoft Plus Classics is an arbitrary list that Ubisoft's come up with.
Yeah, so I mean, I felt like Ubisoft, something was in the works whenever they started putting the like Rainbow Six, whatever that is, Extraction, the Rainbow Six game that nobody cared about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that became like free trial on Xbox Live or whatever. And yeah, then it was like, okay, they're going to do something here shortly.
Well, and supposedly Ubisoft Plus will be coming to Xbox at some point. So you'll be able to pay $15 a month and get all Ubisoft games with all DLC. But that won't be part of Game Pass. It'll be a separate sub.
It's interesting to see Ubisoft competing in this marketplace. Ubisoft and EA, for that matter. I just find it interesting.
I think you know, EA makes a little more sense because they've got a more diverse library and a deeper library. Ubisoft's, you know, not a huge publisher, all things considered.
Yeah.
They don't have nearly as much stuff in their back catalog, seems to me.
Well, PS Plus, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, and PSP games are...
Yeah, they're going to be getting trophy support, which is the big deal. Enhanced visual enhancements. So this is a pretty big departure from some of their past backward compatibility stance, where they really just did, you know, a straight port. Now they're actually talking quality of life upgrades, visual upgrades, you know, trophy support. So that may make it a little more compelling to go back and play some of these old classic PlayStation games if you're a PlayStation subscriber to the new Plus Premium.
Well, moving on to some cloud news. Xbox Cloud Gaming takes Microsoft Flight Simulator to new heights. That was kind of a funny way for me to say that. I don't know why it was hard for me to say it like that. But Microsoft
Flight... That's why you never hire your dad for the marketing department.
Microsoft Flight Simulator's entry into the Xbox Cloud Gaming made it the most played cloud-enabled game in March, which is no small feat as Microsoft pushes its Xbox Everywhere initiative. I like Microsoft Flight Simulator. I feel like there's not a lot there for me. It, I think, in an odd way also reminds me of my disappointment in Elite Dangerous, but whatever.
Well, you can, I mean, it is a straight flight sim, right? There is no combat. You just fly from point A to point B. There are some interesting add-ons in the modding community where you can actually run a business as like a charter flight service and take on passengers, and you have to manage, you know, where your planes are located around the country, and you only take jobs where you have planes, and you can buy multiple planes with the profits and things like that. That kind of adds like a meta game to it. But
yeah, and the community's been building a lot of bush flight things too for the people that are into that.
Yep. So I mean, there is more to do than just, you know, fly around, but I don't think you can do any of that with the cloud enabled version. Obviously, you have to have the PC version.
Well, the mining sucks. That's one thing that they need to fix.
Oh, no. We're getting 11 more Xbox Cloud games that are receiving mobile control. Sorry, I said that awkwardly. taking a cue from my co-host Table on that last story.
You're welcome.
Far Changing Tides, Contrast, A Memoir Blue, and a handful of others are getting touch controls. So if you're playing on your phone, you can...
Let me just say this. I've knocked on the mobile thing for years, and I've been really impressed with how well Microsoft has implemented touch controls in their ecosystem. Like Minecraft Dungeons, for example, just makes sense. Like, I've played it with touch controls, and I was like, this could easily be a mobile game today. That's just how well it worked to me.
Hmm. Well, it's high praise, because certainly I haven't spent a ton of time with the touch controls, but when I've tried them, they work, you know, as you'd expect. It's impressive that it works at all to me on some level.
Hmm. That's fair.
So this is kind of an interesting bit of a black spot for Microsoft. They had an extended outage on Xbox a couple weeks ago, and the way that Microsoft's DRM works, you have a home console and you can play any game on your home console, whether you are signed in online or not. And any of your friends or family members can play any game you own on your home console. But if you are not on your home console, you have to be able to get online and connect to Xbox in order to play. So what a lot of people do is game share, where they have one subscription to something like Xbox Live Ultimate or the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, excuse me. And then they make their home console their friends, so their friend can play all the stuff that they've purchased, and their friend makes, you know, their console their home. And so that allows you to buy a game once and both of you play it. But that falls apart if Xbox is down, because now all of a sudden you can't play anything that you've purchased because you're not on your home console anymore. And so I think it's a little disingenuous for people to get upset about this, because if you're doing what Microsoft recommends, which is playing on your home console primarily, this is a non-issue, at least for single-player stuff.
Okay, because whenever people were freaking out about it online, they didn't say that. They were just like, oh my god, I can't play any of my games because they're down. So that was kind of the
And that's why I wanted to highlight this one, right? Because I feel like the rhetoric online is ignoring the reality that they're sort of taking advantage of a loophole in the system to share purchases with their friend. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, but it comes with the caveat that if something is wrong with your internet or with Xbox, you're not going to be able to play, period, you know, full stop. So
one star.
That said, I mean, aside from the sort of annual Christmas DDoS that some jerk faces seem to enjoy doing to all of the major online gaming services, you know, Xbox has been pretty reliable. So I give them maybe a little more credit than some folks seem to for the quality of the service. Let's move on to business and legal. Outriders is a looter shooter that came out, gosh, a couple years ago now, from Square Enix, and didn't do terribly well. Certainly a lot of people were disappointed with the end game content. They've done a number of patches, a number of improvements. They have a major DLC coming out, expansion coming out later this June, I think it is. But the developers came out and said recently that they made no profit off of the game in 2021, that everything they've been doing to improve the game basically ate up all their sales. So I guess, you know, on one hand, kudos for them for continuing to improve the game, even when it seems like it's costing them money. I'm sure they're doing it with the expectation that this new $40 expansion is going to revitalize the game and get a lot of sales. So it's certainly not entirely selfless, but it remains to be seen if they can, you know, turn around the public perception on the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the FTC world, it looks like the FTC is going to be cracking down on influencers and platforms over fake and manipulated reviews. As an example, what this means is, like, back in 2015, according to this article, it settled a case against Machinima Inc. over its failure to disclose the fact that it was paying its influencers for promotional videos. A year later, WBIE settled similar charges relating to a Shadow of Mordor promotional campaign, and ongoing problems helped to promote the creation of Disclosures 101 Primer, but the endorsement guides underpinning it were last updated in 2009. So there's just a lot of stuff going on with this. It looks like the FTC is kind of proposing its guidelines to help address, you know, fake reviews and lack of disclosure, or as they like to call it, stealth advertising to children. So there you go.
I hope Metacritic is nervous.
Yeah. So one of the things that's really scuzzy that this doesn't seem to address that makes me nervous, loot boxes. It's pretty common in the industry for games that use loot boxes give big chunks of them to influencers, like 100 loot boxes, and the influencer opens them live on stream. Well, and that's, you know, fine, I guess. It's a little scuzzy. But what's disturbing is they will actually tweak the odds to increase the drop rate for the rare and legendary items from these loot boxes to make you think you're going to get those legendaries much more often than you actually will as a consumer. And I mean, that's just outright lying to me. It is the most dishonest thing. And loot boxes are already sort of scuzzy, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised that people who use loot boxes would behave this way, but I do wish the FTC would address that as a disclosure item as well, because it certainly seems related to this to me.
In just tech related news specifically, and I think this is actually a good thing because, you know, we've seen the rise of needing for good faith hackers out there. There's actually a lot of companies around this, but the U.S. Department of Justice will no longer prosecute good faith hackers under a new policy revision. It's interesting. I was listening to a podcast. There's like a Hacker Underground podcast. I forget the name of it. Jim, I think you've listened to it before too, but Jack Reciter is the guy who does the interviewing on there, and he interviewed these group of guys who were like security researchers who were actually paid to do physical security pen testing on an organization, and then got caught by the local police and were still prosecuted and charged by the local district. And even though they were able to get that stuff kind of taken care of, there's still an arrest record. There's still like this whole other thing. Like there's still, you know, and it kind of damaged their credibility for quite a long time. You know, it hindered their ability to be able to do certain things for quite a while. And so, you know, this is, it's nice to see that there is some revisions here going around to help protect the good out there. So there's that. We've had, and not to get too close to that political line, we've just had very terrible technology policy in the U.S. because it's just not really been fully revised over the years, or, you know, or legal systems don't fully understand or know terminology. So it's good to see improvements in areas with technology like this. So anyway.
Yeah.
In other news, speaking of laws, there is an antitrust lawsuit against Valve that is back in action again. There's a company called Wolffire who had an antitrust case back in November of 2021, I believe, that was thrown out because it didn't meet the necessary standards. Well, they took that 30-day grace period and revised it and came back, and the judge says, yeah, you're good to go. Apparently, they are mad at Valve. According to them, here it says in this lawsuit, in order to afford Valve's 30% commission, game publishers must raise their prices to consumers and can afford to invest fewer resources in innovation and creation. Gamers are injured by paying higher retail prices caused by Valve's high commissions.
This is such crap.
I really think that this, there's not a lot. I get that there's a 30% cut that Valve takes here. But with such a high competitive market now starting to enter in onto the PC, and with publishers themselves outside of Valve determining their own cost of games on the platform, I don't think you can entirely blame Valve for this.
Well, so one thing to keep in mind is that Valve has to deliver to you any game you purchase for the rest of time. Right? Because if you buy it and you choose to download it, delete it, download it 5 times a day, Valve still has to send those bits to you, and that does cost money. Valve does marketing. They do their online service, their multiplayer service, that's all free to the developers, that's taken care of by that 30% cut. So it is not an unreasonable amount of money, and it has become an industry standard. That's what Apple charges, Google charges, Microsoft, PlayStation, all of them charge 30%.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to save 30% of your cut, right, just stop paying taxes. What could go wrong?
Well, and the other thing is, you can put your game up on Steam, print up a bunch of keys, and sell those through third-party stores, and it costs you nothing. Valve doesn't charge you anything to do that. They put a limit on the number of keys, and you have to basically go and beg them for more, but it's not as if Valve is charging you a nickel or a dollar per key or anything. They're not making any money on keys that you sell as a developer, third party.
And also, key sales are guaranteed, because you can't refund off of those. So right, once you sell them, then you made the money.
Yep. So those issues. The other thing is, this, whoever is at this company apparently is very, very young. And the reason I say that is because back when we had stores like Electronics Boutique, CompUSA, actual physical stores where you walked in and purchased a box and took it home to play a game off of CD or off of diskette, guess what? Those stores took 50% plus marketing expenses. So if your game was on the end cap, that cost you extra beyond the 50% they were already taking. So the idea that 30% is somehow unreasonable seems absurd to me on the face of it, because compared to physical distribution, it's way, 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 way less. So I don't know. I have such a hard time with this.
Yeah, so there's also a thing in here that says the claim that Valve forbids developers from selling discounted Steam keys through other distributors, for instance, arose from a single anecdote involving one unnamed developer, Valve says, which, like you just addressed, that kind of just, you know, it, this whole case, I feel like people waste their time with some of these things. Like, I get that maybe you think Steam is the big bad, but they've also been around for far longer, and that's why they also have such a big, huge corner of the market, because they've been doing this for far longer than anybody else. I mean, it's like, why do you think Microsoft has such a huge, like, corner on the personal computer world, you know, with Windows? Or sure, Mac has made a lot of inroads, and sure, you know, you've got the weird outsourced, like, Linux people, but you know, Microsoft's also just been doing it pretty steadily for a very long time. So
I just find it a little absurd how quickly people forget how good they have it, I guess.
Sure. And I feel that sometimes too. Like, I get people's frustrations, but also at the same time, I think that, you know, people just don't think things through. But anyway, moving on, speaking of people, John Romero, he's going to be publishing a memoir next year. So the Doom guy is a positive story of gratitude for a life in games. So John Romero is an interesting character. I would be really curious to see what his memoir is all about. For those of you who don't know, he's the Eid Software co-founder. He's also known kind of as helping to make Doom and a whole bunch of these other games. I guess the name of the memoir is called Doom Guy: Life in First Person, and I'm pretty excited about that. I guess, you know, the other high profile Eid Software co-founder is John Carmack. I guess the two of them had a falling out at one point, so the memoir talks about that. So that'll be interesting. You know, these guys are like legends in the gaming world, so I'm kind of curious to see what that's all about. There you go.
Yeah, that should be fun.
I bet the chapter on Ion Storm is really short.
Yeah. So...
moving Sonic, on to funny and strange.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where to start with this. Sonic got a movie and then a second movie, and it's done pretty well. It was better than anybody expected, at least. But there was famously a preliminary version of the CG that was widely hated from the first movie. And one of the things that people got upset about was his teeth. And apparently now we are getting Sonic back in a Chippendales Rescue Rangers movie on Disney Plus, and he will have teeth again for some reason. So
Sonic's big dental adventure,
I guess. Yeah, it's so odd.
Wouldn't it be cool, like, whenever he gets clobbered, instead of, like, rings, it was a bunch of teeth that bounced out?
If you've watched there's a clip, there's a clip out there called The Ugly Sonic Scene, where they've, like, because the whole Sonic debacle was such a funny thing to watch, where people were so outraged. I thought it was hysterical at how outraged people were by this, by the original Sonic that they were going to use for the movie. And personally, I thought it was a pretty ugly model. I was like, what's wrong with like the way Sonic looked? I don't know why we had to go with this weird looking Sonic. But he has a cameo in the new Chippendale Rescue Rangers movie. And I kind of, the original ugly Sonic, Meet Ugly Sonic Live, is what was in the movie. And I actually kind of find that really funny.
You know, one of the unfortunate things in real life with hedgehogs is they're very prone to getting cancer, like crippling tumors. And so I now, ever since I learned that, I just have a picture of like old Sonic with weird tumors all over him. So I want that version for the next movie.
It's like Fallout Sonic.
Yeah, seriously. So that's the version I'm waiting for. Hey, Table.
Yarp.
Do you remember Donkey Kong Country?
Dude, it's like one of my favorite games as a kid.
You remember Funky Kong?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, apparently,
like George Clinton Kong.
Apparently he's got a new ska album coming out.
Yeah, it's Donkey Skang Country, and I am all over it.
This is the music we didn't know we needed.
Well, if you remember the music, it's very much it's very much in that style of ska to begin with. It's got like, you know, the Zoot Suit Riot kind of drum melodies with like trumpets and all that kind of stuff. So they've kind of leaned into that pretty hard, and I'm all for it, honestly. So,
well, you can find the band Holophonics on Bandcamp, where they are doing this. They have this album and a few others that they've done covers over. So, quite a thing.
All right, and our last funny and strange, what do we got?
So, an Animal Crossing New Horizons fan has made an island just for all the ugly villagers. And, you know, if you're not familiar, in Animal Crossing, the different villagers are all based on animals, but they're randomly generated. So their characteristics are, you know, a little bit out there sometimes. And so we have a, I think, a squirrel with a unibrow. There's a bear whose eyes are like super close together, and he has a weird facial expression. There's a frog with giant, giant lips. You know, the list goes on here. There's about 10 or 12 different characters with really, really ugly animals. So, yeah. Kudos to Amy Donnelly 13 who put this together.
Well, I think that'll about do it for this week's episode. Be sure to check out our Discord at discord.otherworlds.gg for all of this and more. We've recently changed our community nights from Thursdays to Tuesdays. We've been feeling kind of the drag as the week has gone on. The motivation to want to do things on Thursday evenings is not as high as earlier in the week, so we've seen more interest in doing our community nights earlier in the week, so we're moving those to Tuesday nights. Last couple of community nights we've been playing Planetside 2, which has been a lot of fun. So we're looking to do more and interesting variety of things. We've got a Minecraft server if you want to come over and check that out. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. This has been episode number 62.
Yeehaw.